Welcome to another episode of the Oncology On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Rena Lokai. Dr. Sarah Hurvitz of the University of Washington recently spoke to Cancer Network regarding advancements in the treatment of HER2-positive breast cancer. Specifically, she highlighted treatment options for patients with brain metastases through the HER2CLIMB-02 trial.
So I know we wanted to start off by talking a little bit about zanidatamab. So maybe you could tell me a bit about how that combination regimen worked in patients with HER2, with the subgroup that was examined.
Zanidatamab is a really interesting molecule. It's actually a bispecific or biparatopic antibody that binds two different non-overlapping extracellular domains on HER2. And by binding these two domains can lead to cross-linking and clustering and actually internalization of HER2. It's shown some pretty interesting results in the preclinical and early phase clinical setting. And at San Antonio, the results of a phase 2 study looking at zanidatamab in combination with palbociclib and fulvestrant were presented. The palbociclib was given at its FDA-approved full dose, and the zanidatamab was given 20 mg per kg every 2 weeks. And in this study, the primary endpoint was progression-free survival at 6 months. They actually enrolled 51 patients, 32 of whom had centrally confirmed HER2-positive breast cancer. And it's important to note how heavily pretreated these patients were. They had all received trastuzumab. Pretty much all of them had received T-DM1 and pertuzumab. And there was like a median prior number of lines of therapy of 4, with a range up to 12 prior lines of therapy for metastatic disease. So keeping those, that level of heavy pretreatment in mind, the PFS6 was 67%, meaning at 6 months, 67% of the patients had not yet experienced a progression event. The median progression-free survival overall was 12 months. And if you just looked at the patients who had centrally confirmed HER2-positive disease, it was 15 months. And so these are kind of exceptional results in a patient population that is so heavily pretreated. Of course, only hormone receptor-positive, HER2-positive breast cancer patients were enrolled in this study. And that's the subset of patients that were really being evaluated. The objective response rate was 48% in patients who had HER2-positive centrally confirmed disease. So I think these results are pretty exciting. The toxicity profile is really quite good in looking at it. The rates of grade 3-4 events outside of the neutropenia, which is associated with palbociclib, were fairly uncommon. So I think I'm excited to see further results of this in a later stage study.
No, absolutely. I guess that's actually a perfect transition, being that this is phase 2 research. Where do you anticipate future research efforts kind of moving from here?
Well, I mean, that remains to be seen where it will go. There's a lot of discussions about where this could be studied. I think many of us would hope this will be evaluated in a phase 3 larger study, perhaps in the first line setting and during the maintenance phase. Certainly with impressive results like these, especially given the tolerability profile, would be nice to see this even in early stage disease. That's hormone receptor positive, HER2 positive, and maybe with a drug like ribociclib, which has been shown to have survival benefit in HER2 negative hormone receptor positive disease in 3 clinical trials. So I think it'll be exciting to see actually what sorts of studies actually get funded and started.
Yeah, wow, that's a lot of possibilities. That's really exciting.
I agree.
Definitely. Well, I know we also wanted to talk a little bit about HER2CLIMB-02, which was a pretty big talking point at this year's meeting. So do you think you could just like briefly tell me about some of the data that read out there?
Yeah, HER2CLIMO 2 is a study looking at whether tucatinib, when added to trastuzumab emtansine or T-DM1, improves outcomes for patients with HER2-positive advanced breast cancer. In this study, patients had to have been previously treated with trastuzumab and a taxane in any setting. And patients were also allowed if they had a history of brain metastases, including untreated or active progressing brain metastases. So there were about 460 patients enrolled in this study and randomized to T-DM1 tucatinib or T-DM1 plus placebo. The primary endpoint was progression-free survival by investigator assessment. And if at the primary analysis of this primary endpoint, it was statistically significantly positive, that would prompt the first of two interim overall survival analyses. So actually, at this time, what we presented was that the median progression-free survival was significantly improved in patients by about 2 months with a hazard ratio of 0.76. It was statistically significant. Looking at the progression-free survival in the population of patients with brain metastases, again, we see a very nice just over 2 month improvement in median progression-free survival with the hazard ratio of 0.6. Four. This was not statistically tested due to the hierarchical testing design, but overall survival was looked at. The first interim overall survival analysis was prompted by that PFS positive result. And at this time, there was no significant difference between the two treatment arms. It's important to know this analysis is quite immature with only 53% of the events needed. So we'll be looking at overall survival when we hit 80% of survival events. It's also important to note that post-progression, half of patients in each arm went on to receive T-DXd. This was a study that only enrolled patients who were naive to T-DXd. So we know that T-DXd has substantial improvements in PFS and survival. So having so many patients receive this after progression is certainly going to impact our ability to observe survival differences. About 15% of patients in each arm also went on to receive tucatinib. I think these are pretty exciting results for our patients, especially those with brain metastases. This study did enroll, as I said, patients with brain mets, and actually patients with brain mets comprise 44% or so of the entire population enrolled in this study. So interesting data, and we'll see if this regimen is ultimately approved.
Absolutely. That's so exciting. Thank you. And I did have a question from our sister brand OncLive. They wanted to ask what this study means when following the original HER2CLIMB study, and if these results will change how sequencing is going to work.
At this point, I don't think that sequencing is going to change. Right now, the standard of care is to use the CLEOPATRA THP regimen in the first line setting and T-DXd in the second line setting. T-DXd demonstrated an improved progression-free survival as well as overall survival compared to T-DM1. And given these results didn't go head-to-head against T-DXd, I don't think that we're going to see T-DXd displaced as the second-line standard of care regimen. However, in the third-line setting and in patients who have brain metastases, I do think that adding tucatinib to T-DM1 has shown important results in this study. There were higher rates of grade 3 ALT and AST elevation. Around 16% of patients had grade 3 or greater liver enzyme elevations. So I think you have to take into consideration the side effect profile. And until it's approved as a regimen, I don't think I'll be adding it to T-DM1 outside of a trial. But these are the second study looking at tucatinib in a large systemic therapy trial enrolling a big population of patients with brain mets, showing that tucatinib added to systemic therapy improves outcomes. So I think it solidly places tucatinib in the treatment landscape for those patients affected by brain mets.
Thank you so much for that insight. I feel like we're probably fine to skip over DESTINY-Breast03 since you said that wasn't presented at this meeting.
Okay, great.
So I guess just to kind of close out, obviously we had a lot of exciting things read out at this year's SABCS meeting. What do you hope that the oncology community kind of took away from it?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of updated results at SABCS this year that were important. Biomarker results were presented for the CheckMate and KEYNOTE studies of neoadjuvant immune checkpoint inhibitors in hormone receptor positive disease. We saw results relating to Catherine long-term survival and DFS, very impressive results. Natalie reported its final iDFS data relating to ribociclib. Again, very important. We saw great results from Terry Mamounas relating to the RTOG study looking at omission of nodal radiation in patients with node negative disease after receiving neoadjuvant therapy. And then I think on the last day, probably the biggest splash was the data relating to inavolisib added to palbociclib and fulvestrant. Those data were probably practice changing very soon.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Dr.
No
Hurvitz.
problem. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On the Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere where podcasts are available. Or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On the Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer-Network.